everyone. Welcome back to another electrifying episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and joining me, as always, is the ever-enthusiastic Core. How's it going, Core?
Hey, Jack. I'm feeling fantastic and supercharged for today's discussion. We've got a lot of ground to cover with what's happening in the world of AI, Web 3.0, and beyond. Buckle up, folks.
Absolutely. Today is packed with juicy topics. We're diving into the latest breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, including how machine learning is revolutionizing healthcare.
And don't forget, we'll be talking about the exciting developments in Web 3.0. It's all the buzz right now. Decentralization, cryptocurrency, NFTs, and how it's reshaping the internet from the ground up.
Oh yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. Plus, we've got to touch on some recent business moves in the tech world. Some companies are making big plays, and it's going to be interesting to see how those shake out.
And speaking of big moves, we're not shying away from politics either. Tech policy is heating up with new regulations and government interest in big tech's power. We're here to give our 2 cents and, who knows, maybe a bit of healthy debate.
Healthy debate? Try heated disagreement. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I want to extend a warm welcome to all our listeners, old and new. Thank you for tuning in to AI Unchained. We're thrilled to have you with us.
Absolutely. And as always, we encourage you to get involved in the conversation. Tweet us your thoughts and questions. We love hearing from our audience. So let's dive right into our first topic.
Kicking things off, let's talk about the latest AI breakthrough that has everyone buzzing. Have you heard about the new AI model that makes diagnosing rare diseases faster and more accurate than ever, Core?
Oh, you bet. It's phenomenal what these models can do now, but it's not all sunshine and rainbows. There are some valid concerns about privacy and the ethical implications of AI in healthcare. Jack, what's your take?
It's a fascinating development, no doubt. But like any powerful tool, it requires responsible usage. We'll get into the nitty-gritty soon. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Stick around, folks. You don't want to miss this.
On the other side, we'll be diving deep into the controversial moves by some tech giants and what it means for the future of the internet. Stay tuned.
All right, let's get started. So, Core, diving into the meat of today's tech discussion, these cryptographic tools and their open sourcing. We talked about the benefits for developers in both private and public sectors, but let's get into the real-world impacts. For example, zero-knowledge proofs, ZKPs. These are mainly mathematical ways to prove you know something without revealing the actual information. Imagine you can prove you know the password without showing the password itself. Isn't that just super cool?
Exactly, Jack. ZKPs are a game changer for privacy. They form the backbone of many modern privacy-enhancing tools. When we're talking about digital ID solutions or any application where privacy is crucial, having ZKPs integrated means users can prove their identity or other credentials without exposing their private data. Imagine a world where verification processes are seamless and zero risk for our information. That's the power of ZKPs.
And that brings us to FPGAs, field programmable gate arrays. These are essentially integrated circuits that can be configured by a customer or designer after manufacturing, compared to regular chips, which are specifically designed to do one task. In cryptography, FPGAs can be crucial. They provide that desirable mix of speed and flexibility. Think of FPGAs as the Swiss Army knife of processors. They can be tailored to perform complex calculations super fast, making them perfect for cryptographic tasks.
Right, and let's not forget about their role in cybersecurity. As cyber threats become more sophisticated, the need for faster and more adaptive hardware solutions grows. FPGAs let developers quickly iterate on the hardware level to stay ahead of security threats. Essentially, where CPUs are generalists, FPGAs are the specialists that can morph based on the needs of the situation.
Absolutely, Core. And speaking of staying ahead, did you catch the news on Google breaking the AI industry's version of Moore's Law? So far, AI models have always been getting cheaper and more capable every year, but Google has thrown a wrench into that with their latest model. It seems we're starting to hit some kind of cost and capacity ceiling. What's your take on that?
Yeah, Jack, that's fascinating. It's a bit like we've been cruising on this endless road of improvements and suddenly, bam, pothole. They call it Moore's Law for AI, where we expected exponential improvements and cost reductions. Google's latest model shows that might not be sustainable indefinitely. It's an interesting pivot point. Are we going to see a focus shift to optimizing and making what we have more efficient rather than just more powerful?
That's a good point. Efficiency will be key moving forward. And it's not just AI, it's the entire tech landscape. Everything from hardware to cryptography to blockchain technologies, there's a push towards making existing tech work smarter, not harder. This ties into companies like Solidus AI Tech, integrating secret VM and trusted execution environments. They are ahead of the game by ensuring data are kept confidential and verifiable throughout, which is crucial for both security and efficiency, as you mentioned.
For sure. The intersection of AI, cryptographic tools, and blockchain is creating new paradigms for security and efficiency. Remember what we mentioned about the open platform on the Telegram blockchain? They actually managed to integrate several crucial tools like Ton Connect and the NFT marketplace entirely within Telegram. The idea of merging usability with efficient cryptographic practices is what's driving them to unicorn status, not just because they are flashy, but they are practical and, quite simply, making the tech work smarter.
Indeed. The practicality and the expanding application are what make these developments so exciting. And speaking of practical, let's not overlook the crypto market situation we've got going on. Bitcoin rallying past $110,500 due to strong U.S. employment data. It's like the traditional markets gave Bitcoin an espresso shot. But what's even more intriguing is how Ethereum and other altcoins are following suit. It's this fascinating oscillation between digital and traditional finance worlds.
That's true, Jack, and it shows a growing maturity in how markets see and react to crypto assets. They're increasingly viewed through the same lens as traditional assets, even when it comes to regulatory scrutiny, like the SEC halting Grayscale's ETF. And yet, we're still seeing massive volumes and traction in the crypto space despite these hurdles. Shows just how resilient the ecosystem is.
Really drives home the point. Crypto is here to stay. And its integration with privacy-enhancing technologies and adaptable hardware like FPGAs just further cements its position. The future is not just about building more, it's about building smarter. The intersection of all these technologies is paving the way for a more secure, efficient, and pragmatic digital world.
Well said. It's thrilling to be on the cusp of these advancements and to witness firsthand how interconnected and rapidly evolving our tech landscape truly is. We'll have to keep a close eye on these shifts and see where they take us next.
Couldn't agree more. And next up, let's dive into the geopolitical implications of these technological shifts. How are different regions adapting? And what does this mean for global tech leadership? Stay tuned. So even though I quit using Cursor, my feeling is that I'd still reach for it if my hands are really physically hurting and I need to keep working. Usually, once I get to the point where I've got blisters on my fingers, I think it's better to just take a break. You know, it's a matter of balancing productivity and physical health.
Yeah, and given how fast AI tooling is developing, I wouldn't be surprised if this project could be accomplished in significantly less time using a different approach. I mean, have you heard how AI is speeding up creative processes and even coding?
Exactly. Take Kevin Kelly, for instance. This guy is a living legend in the tech world. From editing the whole Earth catalog in the early 1980s to co-founding Wired magazine in 1993, he's seen tech evolve from dial-up to AI, taking over art and creativity.
Absolutely. Kelly's work has been ahead of its time, especially with AI. His foresight into AI's role before it became mainstream is impressive. He even advised Steven Spielberg on Minority Report, which was filled with futuristic tech concepts. And now look, we're living in some of those realities.
It's mind-blowing. Speaking of evolution, let's talk about film grain patterns and AI. Remember how we discussed the autoregressive model being used to replicate film grain? This technique just captures and reproduces the noise characteristics of old film, making digital video look vintage. It's pure tech magic.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating. Essentially, they're using these models to control the grain's texture and video, which was a painstaking process when done manually. It's all about preserving the original aesthetics while leveraging current technology, kind of like how Lofton's team worked on the space station's design, ensuring it's both technically advanced and robust.
Right. And look at the commercial potential for space stations now. Companies like Vast are pushing for artificial gravity stations by 2035. The goal is to make long-term space travel, like trips to Mars, more comfortable. Using these tools means projects that took decades now might take years.
That reminds me, what do you think about the pricing war between Google's Gemini Flash and OpenAI's O3? Lowering prices while enhancing AI capabilities, it's like they're racing to make the best AI tools more accessible and affordable. But there's still the question of hardware bottlenecks, right?
Oh, absolutely. Hardware is critical here. The speed and efficiency of these large language models depend heavily on the raw power of GPUs and TPUs. Even if models get better, they can't run instantly due to physical constraints on memory bandwidth. It's this balance between demand and supply that keeps pushing the tech forward.
Speaking of pushing tech forward, there's always a new angle, like Soham working multiple startups simultaneously. That's nuts. Balancing multiple gigs, especially in AI, is risky. Companies want focused talent, but the competitive edge AI brings makes it tempting for individuals to stretch their expertise across various platforms.
And it's not just him. Look at Cluely with real-time meeting notes using AI. The idea of an AI live, analyzing business conversations and suggesting questions on the fly can redefine productivity. But Soham's story also shows the thin line between innovation and overreach.
True. And it circles back to regulation and ethics in tech. Ensuring AI doesn't just automate tasks, but does so responsibly. Like Meta's proactive AI personas in Messenger, useful, but raising serious privacy questions.
Yeah, and concerns about safety, especially if chatbots interact with younger audiences like the Pinwheel Watch that targets kids aged 7 to 14. The tool's AI assistant Pinwheel GPT safeguards against inappropriate interactions, but parents are rightly cautious of too much digital reliance.
It's a balancing act, just like space tech with reusable rocket systems. Rapid testing and development cycles like those advocated by companies like SpaceX and Tactical Air Command are streamlining achievements, but at what operational cost?
In the environmental footprint, right? Elon Musk's xAI operation stretching emission limits shows the environmental side of rapid AI expansion. Balancing innovation with sustainability is crucial.
Precisely. As enterprises adopt AI for various tasks, from HR to customer service, integrations like those undertaken by Acera and eMet Group show how AI is reshaping industries. But achieving results responsibly is the key takeaway.
Totally. And the new ISO standard showing responsible AI management reinforces that. At the end of the day, it's about scalability, privacy, and ethics, guiding how we use these powerful tools.
It's a dynamic field, constantly evolving. The way advanced AI platforms are coming into play makes me optimistic, yet cautious about keeping that human element and ethical oversight front and center.
Exactly. And that's a wrap on how we see the evolving landscape of AI, technology, and the need for responsible innovation. All right, Core, let's dive back into the meat of it. Team Eusis's use of intrusive data structures, specifically the red-black tree and linked list. These aren't the kind of data structures you bump into every day, and there's a reason why they're not as commonplace anymore, right?
Absolutely, Jack. Intrusive data structures are basically where the elements themselves hold the structure. Think of it like having a list where each item knows what the next item is and potentially the previous one too. It's like if your books on the shelf knew exactly which book was to their left and which one was on their right.
Right. That's a classic linked list. But imagine doing this with more complex elements like a tree, where each node knows its children and its parent. That's where things get interesting and a little bit complicated.
Exactly. Team Eusis using an intrusive red-black tree means that each element in the tree knows how to keep the tree balanced as new elements are added or removed. It's efficient, but definitely not the easiest thing to manage. The benefits are speed and memory efficiency, but the trade-off is complexity and potential for bugs.
So why choose something so complex? Why not go with a non-intrusive approach that most modern applications use, like using containers that hold the data separately?
Good question. Intrusive structures can be faster because they often require less memory allocation and fewer interactions, but they're harder to maintain. It's a bit like racing in Formula One. Sure, faster, but the maintenance costs and skill required to keep the car running are through the roof.
Huh, I love that analogy. Speaking of maintenance, let's pivot a bit to Stripe. How did the shift you experienced there reflect on dealing with complex projects? One day, you're managing technical infrastructure and tools, and the next, creating a company culture that itself needs a lot of hands-on adjustment.
Oh man, it was a wild ride. Picture this. I'm deeply embedded in coding and infrastructure at Stripe, and suddenly I'm asked to switch lanes to things like work anniversaries, company planning, and even environmental sustainability goals. It felt like moving from figuring out how to optimize a database query to organizing a massive team building event.
It's funny because those skills aren't exactly transferable on paper, but in reality, the project management skills are. It's all about problem solving, whether it's with code or people.
Exactly. And it's fascinating how different parts of an organization might seem worlds apart, but require a similar approach to leadership and structure. It's like how JSON schema definitions map to CSV and PennyBest. It's about translating one form of data and organization into another.
Let's not forget the government's interest in stablecoins you brought up. It's pretty analogous to dealing with company-wide projects. They see an innovative technology like stablecoins not just for payment solutions, but as a fiscal tool.
You're right. The U.S. government's interest in stablecoins for deficit management is another layer of complexities. It's much like how T-Mukes uses sophisticated data structures to manage its terminal multiplexer. It's all about efficient, reliable handling of resources, whether it's money or memory.
And speaking of resources, how about fitting those enormous space structures into skinny rockets? It's a logistical headache that makes fitting Von Braun's conceptual station into Starship's upper stage seem as tricky as using red-black trees in a high-level project.
That's another great comparison. Engineering challenges in space reflect the workplace's structural adaptations. You've got to be innovative, think three steps ahead, and sometimes use unconventional methods to fit everything together nicely.
Agreed. It's truly a matter of finding the right balance between efficiency, complexity, and practicality in both tech and business environments. And sometimes, just like in dynamic games like Reaper Actual, you need to adapt and evolve consistently.
Right. The evolving battlefield of tech, business, and personal career paths. It's a game of strategy, perseverance, and sometimes a little bit of bravery in the face of massive challenges.
Just like those traders look at exponential moving averages to gauge market health, we've got to keep an eye on the broader context of our tech stacks and business operations. It's all interconnected.
And that's the beauty of these discussions. Whether it's treacherous tree structures or stablecoins stabilizing the economy, it's about understanding and adapting to a constantly changing landscape.
On that note, Core, how about we explore some of the audience questions next? We've got some interesting ones lined up about practical applications and real-world tech challenges.
Perfect. Let's get into it.
So, Core, let's talk about this idea of being a cool girl at work. You know, bouncing around from gig to gig without focusing on climbing the corporate ladder. The story of transitioning from Stripe's account management team to that moment of realization is kind of like a wake-up call. I mean, when do you think you realize the fun, carefree strategy might actually be costing you in the long run?
Yeah, Jack, it's a tough one. For a long time, it seems awesome, right? Trying to keep things fresh and avoid getting boxed into a boring role. But then you start seeing your peers getting those promotions, gaining more influence, and tackling substantial projects. They're mentoring others, getting recognized at industry events. You start to feel left out, maybe even regretful. Have you ever felt like that?
Oh, totally. I've been there. Your colleagues grow into these powerful roles where they're making a big impact, and suddenly you feel like you've been left behind while you've been busy being cool. It's like that moment when you realize that the shiny object syndrome means you've been playing the same game, but on the very outer field.
Yeah, scattered focus can definitely start weighing you down. And it's not just about the titles or the office. There's real, tangible achievements happening. I mean, look at the difference. The folks who picked a lane or, better yet, a ladder are solving bigger, more important problems. They're making a difference in ways that matter, and that's a huge driver.
Exactly, Core. I think it's a balance. You can bring passion to what you're doing without getting distracted by every shiny new opportunity. Like, I get that keeping off the org chart and giving away your Legos was a cool mantra for a while. But there's a shift when you realize that real impact requires stability and sometimes even a bit of long-term planning.
Yeah. And let's face it, fun is great. It keeps you motivated, but it's not necessarily the end goal if you want to build something meaningful. And I think that's the point where you see transition happening. Transition from the idea of being this flexible, adaptable person to someone who's honing in on expertise and making a mark.
You know, this reminds me of a convo I had with a buddy who stayed at one company for over a decade. He started off like any of us, moving around a couple of times early on, but decided to stick it out at this one place. Now, he's practically a cornerstone of the company. People look up to him, he mentors new hires, and he's highly regarded across the industry. Would he have gotten that level of respect if he'd kept hopping around? Doubtful.
Right. And the funny part is, sometimes those people chasing titles and promotions that we might mock, well, they end up doing incredible things, and that legacy sticks. I mean, career mobility is more nuanced than it seems. We joke about MBAs and people with professional headshots on LinkedIn, but they're often seen as the ones who shape a lot of what happens next.
True. It isn't just a vanity thing. It's that these title chasers are actually working on substantial problems. They're mentoring fresh talent, shaping the company's trajectory, influencing major decisions. And they bring people into their circle, getting more done as a group.
I think a critical turning point is realizing it's not about bouncing around for new shiny gigs. It's about driving forward, making waves where you are.
Yep. And those coffee chats where people come to you to talk about quitting and doing something weird, they might feel good for a while, but they also start to feel hollow, right? You start to see your peers achieving real success, and it's difficult not to compare. It looks like what you perceived as cool activity was more like treading water while others were swimming laps.
Oh, absolutely. You start to feel you missed out on pivotal experiences that could have shaped your career and expertise. And then there's this fear like, did I just screw this up for me?
Exactly. And it's not about the money, or at least not only that. It's about finding a balance, a purpose. Reflecting on your own trajectory is normal, worrying if you miss the more meaningful, impactful path. It all boils down to refocusing your ambition and maybe bit by bit defining what success means to you.
Yeah, at the end of the day, one's career is not something written in stone. Realigning and adjusting your path is part of the journey. Definitely era-defining dialogue here, C-O-R-R.
Absolutely, Jack. And finding that mix of passion, impact, and yes, a bit of career stability can be the secret sauce to a fulfilling career. It's never too late for a course correction.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today on AI Unchained. We've had quite the conversation covering everything from the latest advancements in AI tech to the roller coaster that is the business and political landscape.
Absolutely, Jack. We dove deep into some really cutting-edge stuff today. From discussing the future implications of AI in our daily lives to analyzing the recent changes in big tech policies, it's been an informative ride.
And of course, we can't forget our debate on whether robots will eventually replace us all or just make our lives infinitely easier. I'm still holding out hopes for my personal robot butler.
Huh. Keep dreaming, Jack. But in all seriousness, it's discussions like these that keep us all thinking critically about where we're headed. Plus, who could forget our little tangent about the latest hilarious political gaffes? Never a dull moment.
Indeed, Core. We definitely managed to balance those heavier topics with some good laughs. And I think we can all agree that's a necessary mix these days.
Right? It's always important to keep things light, even when we're talking about serious tech and business developments. Keeps us all sane and grounded in reality.
On that note, we want to extend a huge thank you to all of our listeners. Your support and engagement mean everything to us. We hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
And don't forget, if you have any burning questions or topics you want us to tackle in our next episode, drop us a line on social media or our website. We love hearing from you.
So until next time, this is Jack.
And Core, signing off. Stay curious. Stay informed, and we'll see you on the next episode of AI Unchained.